Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, November 22nd. I'm Ray Graff. One of the biggest holidays of the year is on the horizon. And for the cooks and the bakers and the kitchen, it can be hectic, but hopefully it'll be rewarding. Here to help ease the Thanksgiving prep stress is Jennifer Clare, a culinary instructor and founder of Home Cooking New York. You got a question about your Thanksgiving lineup? Give us a call. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Jennifer Clare, one of our favorite guests, only here once a year or so. So we try to make the most of it. 800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Thanksgiving prep with Jennifer Clare and your calls coming up on Food Friday after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today on this Food Friday, we offer some assistance to all those soon-to-be busy cooks and bakers tasked with loading up the Thanksgiving table. Here with her tips and suggestions for the big day is Jennifer Clare. Like Santa Claus, like taxes, like my annual blood work, she comes once a year, but it's always an exciting time. Jennifer is a culinary instructor and the founder of Home Cooking New York, a cooking school in New York City. She's the author of 6 Basic Cooking Techniques, Culinary Essentials for the Home Cook. Jennifer is a former food editor at Martha Stewart Living and the former recipes editor at the Wall Street Journal. Jennifer also recently launched the cooking podcast, Kitchen Radio. She lives in the Hudson Valley. If you have a question about Thanksgiving prep or anything Thanksgiving cooking related, 800-348-2551 is the number, 1-800-348-2551. Email us if you want, voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org is the email address, but the phone number is 800-348-2551. Jennifer Clare, welcome back. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
Great to have you on the show every year. And what's new with you?
Well, I have my own little radio show.
I heard this. I don't go for competitors, first of all. All right? Just so let's get that out
right there.
It's called Kitchen Radio. Tell me about it.
It's a podcast. And podcasts allow you to have sort of your own little mini radio show.
Yeah.
So I'm a teacher. And teaching is what I do and what I love to do. And having a little podcast is a way to reach many, many more people than my small little cooking school in New York City.
Give me an example of something you might teach us.
So Kitchen Radio, the idea behind it is I go into someone's, I record it in different people's home kitchens, and it's a mini cooking class where I teach them to cook a dish they've always wanted to learn.
Ah.
And it's usually about 30 minutes, and each student gets to choose what they want to learn. So it's just the sounds of a home kitchen and sort of all the things that come up when you're, you know, in someone else's space.
Do they pay for the honor?
No.
They
basically get a free cooking class.
All right, fair enough.
And so do listeners, which is what I really like. It's because the nice thing about a podcast is it's international. So people in China can download it, or Indonesia, should they want to. So I've done 7 episodes so far. I've done a roasted chicken episode, Korean pancakes, breakfast burritos, chana masala, which is an Indian curry, kuku sabzi, which is a Persian baked egg dish.
Kuku sabzi?
Kuku sabzi.
Professional wrestler back in the 70s, right? No?
That's what it sounds like. I'm trying to think of one of the other ones I've done. But
Tell me about the Korean pancakes.
Well, that actually was one of the podcasts where we switched it up, where I was the student. So her name was Jay Jung. She's a chef in New York City. And she has recently, after 10 years of working at Michelin star restaurants, taken a break. So I went to her home in Astoria, Queens.
Oh, cool.
And she taught me how to make a proper Korean pancake.
You going to come back on the show some year and do those? That sounds interesting.
They're fantastic.
I'll bring the maple syrup.
Yeah, not that kind.
No?
It's kimchi.
Forget it.
It's very savory.
I withdraw the request. Thank you very much.
But it's been really fun. So I do that every 2 weeks. I launch a new episode. And in between those 2 weeks, because they do take a while to produce, and I've been doing something called Sidebar. So it's a little 5-minute I answer a common culinary question.
Somebody will email you and say, hey, blah, 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 and
so
then you'll answer.
I just answered, Julia from Los Angeles asked, what kind of salt should I cook with?
Okay.
And that is a common question. There's so many kinds of
salt
out there.
Right?
That's what I say. But I also talk about sea salt and the different kinds and when you would use them and why. And it's good because podcasts, you know, they're a commitment, 30, 40 minutes. This one's a 5-minute commitment.
So
you get
right.
A quick little tip.
That's not bad. Of course, a lot of editing and things. So
yeah.
it's your hard work.
But it's fun.
Now, I know that Jim probably put the link on our page.
Good.
Of course, ignorant of all the actual details. Where can you find this?
Well, you can, I mean, anywhere you listen to podcasts. So it's Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. You go.
Do you have a website, too?
Yeah. Kitchen Radio is the name of the show. And my website is homecookingny.com, which, of course, you'll see it there.
Radio. Well, I'd be happy if you came to our kitchen, but there wouldn't be any room. So you could make Cheerios
I've seen your kitchen. There's a microwave.
All right. Well, no, we have a stove.
You mean your kitchen or WNYC's kitchen?
No, I mean my house.
Oh.
No, if you came to my house and you could teach me, you know, how to make toast.
Okay.
It would be very
exciting.
It would
be a short podcast.
But enough of that. Let's talk about the angst that is the family get-together known as Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And you're a big cook for the Thanksgiving holiday.
I am.
Even when you're not home, you're doing the Thanksgiving
cooking. I'm going to Los Angeles this year to see my brother and his partner, Jason, and we're going to be cooking food there, which I love. I mean,
you
I'll
don't
cook
mind.
Anywhere. No, he's a beautiful kitchen.
Okay. Well, that's good. Yeah. Well-stocked with everything you need?
Well-stocked. A lot of it I have bought for him. So
what's your menu going to be this year?
So every year I have this, it was like a constant struggle to decide whether I want to just do all the same things every year because people love continuity and tradition on Thanksgiving. But because I am who I am,
you are
I always want to mix it up every year. I want to try something new and then I get pushed back from the family. So I usually do like one or two new things, but I keep it within the sort of traditional parameters.
Yeah.
So this year, I'm a big fan of like either the New York Times and Bon Appetit magazine. They always, every year, people try to reinvent the turkey.
Right.
They got to write about something.
Okay.
So this year, Bon Appetit magazine cut up the turkey. Like the breasts and the legs and the thighs are all separate on a flat baking sheet.
Yeah.
So everything cooks exactly at the same temperature.
Perfect, right? Quicker?
I think I'm going to try it. Yes, much quicker.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to worry about, because the sheer height of a turkey, it takes up, you know, you have to take out all the racks. You can only cook one thing in there.
Yeah.
So this would put it on a single playing field.
Yeah.
And so maybe I could stick like the stuffing on top of it.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah.
So I'm
you ever just stick a turkey right into the old Instapot and then leave for the day?
No. But I know people who, I mean, that would be
appalling,
right? A very small turkey or a very large Instapot. You couldn't fit a turkey in Instapot. Have people done that?
Cut it up, right?
Okay. Cut it up.
Yeah, do it mafia style.
Yeah, no, I don't. Instapot is great for a lot of people, but for me, I love hands-on.
Okay, so, fair enough. Well, you know, we have calls flowing in here, and I know you brought some food, but after the break, we'll talk about the food. But let's take a couple calls. 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Jennifer Claire is here. Thanksgiving is the topic. Frank in Clifton Park. Hello, Frank.
Hello, Frank.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good.
Thank you for this opportunity.
Terrific.
We have, my daughter's coming home from overseas. She's been away for a few years. So the whole family is really getting together.
Great.
And we're expecting 40 people.
Oh, my goodness.
And we've farmed out all the side dishes. That's no problem.
Uh-huh.
We've got chairs. We've got tables. We've got everything. But it's the turkey that's worrying me.
Yeah.
You know, is there a way? I figure I'm going to cook one turkey the day of. But I wondered if there was another way I could cook a turkey ahead of time. And is there a way to, like, liven that up so it seems like it's a fresh-cooked turkey? Or what would you suggest?
Right. Well, I saw your question because it was on the monitor, and I thought you were going to say you're going to cook the whole turkey the day before. But as long as you're cooking one of the turkeys the day of, because you have to have that quintessential turkey smell when people get there, and you want to have crispy skin. So preparing the turkey ahead of time, the only real downside is the skin is never going to be the same as when you pull it out. So as long as some bird has got the crispy skin, I think you can do what I'm planning on doing, which is doing if you're going to do a bird ahead of time, cut it up into the parts.
Yeah.
Roast the breasts, roast the legs, roast the thighs, the wings, you know, on a baking sheet. And then to warm it up in the oven, you know, after you've cooked it, you've cooled it down, you've refrigerated it. When you're rewarming it, I would brush a good amount of butter on the skin and pop that back in the oven. And then at least it will warm it through. Just don't cover it with foil because, I mean, I'm a skin person.
Right. Yeah.
So if you want to heat it up that way, that would probably be your best. Don't take the skin off because the skin will protect it from drying out when you're reheating it.
Oh, interesting. I did not know this.
Now, how hot would you use the oven when you're reheating it?
Not too hot because you would do like sort of low and slow because it's
low and slow,
thick.
So like,
well, the unless you take the
300?
If you take the breast off the bone and slice it, then reheating is easier. It's just that the breast is so massive.
Yeah.
Thick.
Right.
But yeah, 300, 325.
Okay.
All right.
It's worth a try.
Yeah.
All right, man. Thanks for the call. Now, in general, when you're cooking that turkey for the first time,
uh-huh.
What's the rule of thumb, pounds to time in the oven?
You know what? Whatever I read online and every year, it fails me.
Right.
It's like, you know, 10 minutes per pound. But the truth is, if after a certain poundage,
yeah.
it goes down because it's not, you know, after 20 pounds, it can't be 10
right.
minutes per pound. You'd be roasting it all day. I can't even tell you. I'm a culinary professional, and every year the bird surprises me. It's always done way faster than I expect it to be. First of all, I don't roast turkeys that are stuffed. When you stuff a turkey, it takes a lot longer to cook because it's basically like roasting a solid basketball.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
hard
no,
for
no,
the
it makes perfect
to
sense.
To penetrate. So if you're doing it unstuffed, it's remarkable how quick it gets done.
And you use the meat thermometer and double
Always.
Check and
yeah.
everything.
So just over check, like, you know, do 5 minutes per pound and then check it and just see where you are. Are you,
you know,
at 120?
My concern is, though, yeah. you use the meat thermometer, you put the meat thermometer in, and then you pull the meat thermometer out, and then all the juices come out, right?
Yeah, but most meat thermometers are very thin. It's not like the giant roasting thermometers of your
well,
mother's
if
era.
If you're going to make it a pincushion and check it all the time,
well,
what's going to happen?
Yeah, just check it once
all
and
right.
gauge your temperature, and then you'll know. If it's 120, you've got a while to go. If it's 140, because your goal is 160.
Yeah.
So if it's at 140, then yeah. But keep sticking in the same hole.
Do ever of your guests ask for medium rare?
No.
Let's take a break here. We're into controversial territory now. Jennifer Clare is always here and stirs things up. 800-348-2551. Thanksgiving prep and cleanup even with Jennifer Clare. We'll be back. It's Vox Pop Food Friday. Ray Graff here. Thanksgiving prep with Jennifer Clare at 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We'll get back to your calls shortly here. You a briner?
No.
You don't like the brine?
No.
Why?
I tried it 1 year. I've tried it all. And
yeah.
1 year I tried the brine. And it
wet or dry?
Wet.
Yeah.
Well, right. So we can talk about it. I'm going to do a dry brine this year.
Yeah.
But wet brine... It definitely changes the flavor of the turkey.
Yeah.
So it salinates it, and that's fine. But somehow, I guess I'm used to the texture of turkey and the flavor, and it's comforting.
So you like dry turkey?
No, because I cook it properly.
Oh.
It's dry when you overcook it. It's not dry naturally.
Well, we like the brine in my house.
Yeah.
Rick Orlando told us how
and
to
so
do it right.
And so what flavors do you put in your brine? It's just salt and sugar and water? Or like you throw some stuff in? Peppercorns?
Cocoa? Mustard?
No, you are not doing that.
No, I don't know. I don't do it. Do you yeah. think I cook?
Yeah.
I don't know
yeah.
anything. What'd you bring?
All right, so I brought a couple of things. I brought you a homemade cranberry sauce.
Oh, look at that.
Which we'll call a cranberry chutney because, and people are divided. You know, some people just like that jelly.
Hit me with a little of that.
Here, I just brought you a spoon.
Oh, thanks a lot.
I can't stand eating off of plastic, so I brought you an actual spoon.
You know what? You want the spoon and I'll eat with the plastic?
I know what that is.
I love the
already had it.
Tell me, I'm going to have a bite of this right now. Tell me about this.
Cranberry
is like chunky and delicious.
It's embarrassing how easy it is to make. And people just open up a junky can made with high fructose corn syrup. So cranberry sauce. Real cranberry sauce, which cranberry chutney. Oh, his eyes are going big.
You got lemon in this. I mean, this is...
No. Oh, but it's a citrus.
Oh, my God. It's beautiful.
Okay.
It's beautiful.
So it's just a bag of fresh cranberries
yeah.
in a pot with a juice of one orange, chopped up dates, grated ginger, and a third of a cup of sugar.
Okay. I think this is one of the best things we've had on this show.
Oh.
This is really amazing.
And you just put it in a pot, put a lid on it, and you cook until the cranberries explode.
Wow.
And it's about 5-6 minutes, and then all of a sudden you look like a superstar because you've got this like homemade cranberry.
Now,
jam.
Who taught you the idea? Like the orange, I get it.
That is all my
what
mother.
What about the ginger?
Yeah, well, ginger
That's
was not her.
Phenomenal.
She did dates and orange.
The ginger's a great touch.
Yeah, I don't even know where
you
that
come up with that.
Full well, I'm always trying new things, but that's what I like, that combination of three flavors. But
oh
yeah,
my
mother snuck orange into every dish. In Thanksgiving.
I would eat this straight up.
Yeah.
I don't even need the turkey. You know what I mean?
I know. It's just the turkey is a vehicle for putting all these gravy and really good compotes. Plus, look at the color of that. Stuff you open up in a can, it's kind of a muted
Right. Well, you know,
color.
At my house, we have homemade and beautifully done cranberry sauce.
Yeah.
But this is a little different. This is the orange and the ginger make it for me.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah. What else did you bring?
I brought, this is actually a recipe from Bon Appetit, and I have not even tried it yet.
Oh, I made it yesterday. Yes, I'll be your guinea pig.
Well, I liked it because it's roasted sweet potatoes, which are very, you know, traditional.
Right.
But I am not a big fan of the marshmallow topping. I think that's very silly.
And you got birdseed on that, I see.
What I do. So this is toasted cumin pepitas. Pepitas are pumpkin seeds, green pumpkin seeds. And it's got, the star of the show is not just these cumin-dusted toasted pepitas, but you can't even see it. It's a melted hot honey butter.
Yikes.
So it's butter with hot sauce and honey and salt. And I put it on top here and I nuked it. Wow. I have to eat one of these.
Yeah, you eat first. Okay.
I'm going to try one because I
gotta say,
I haven't even
if
tried
you
it
had
myself.
Just had melted honey butter in a bowl and
spoon,
I'm good.
I know,
all right, now what do you think? Okay, she's eating that. Don't talk with your mouth full.
Mm.
The number
here. Oh, you know what? It needs salt. I knew it was going to need salt.
Do you have salt?
No.
All right. 800-348-2551 is our number.
But it is good.
Yeah, it looks good. And I'll try that as soon as we take a couple of calls here. What else did you bring?
And then, wait, we're doing all the food right now?
All right, no, let's not. You know what?
I thought you'd like to space this out.
Thank you. You know what?
I know the drill.
I forgot. Now
it's been a year,
but you like to boss me around. That's great. This is from Mike. Most of us will not be purchasing a fresh turkey for Thanksgiving. I, like many others, will purchase a frozen turkey that has already been injected with a brine solution. Oh. I've read there's no benefit in further brining, either wet or dry. One of these birds, kosher birds, yet almost every recipe calls to brine the bird without taking this into consideration. I would like to know what your opinion is.
Well, first of all, not every recipe tells you to brine it. Just recipes that tell you to brine it do. But, I mean, if you are going to buy one of these injected turkeys or a kosher turkey, definitely do not brine it.
What's the kosher turkeys are injected turkeys?
They're not injected, but part of the koshering process is putting it in a salt solution to draw all the blood out.
Yeah.
So it's all kosher meat always has a salty flavor to
it. Yeah, which is great.
It is good. So, but I'm sure they're fabulously expensive. I would say definitely go with the kosher bird over. I'm not going to lie. I hate butterball turkeys because they're injected with a seasoning solution, which is not, it would be nice if it was just salt and water and sugar, which you can do at home.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, some fabrication to make it plumper and fatter and bigger breasts.
All right. Well, now remember, if you want to sue Jennifer Claire for that,
But anyways, if you are going to buy one of those pre-seasoned turkeys, definitely don't brine it. It's basically pre-brined.
Okay.
And
but you're going to do a dry brine this time.
I'm going to do a dry brine, which is just basically salt and sugar and dry spices that you rub on the turkey under the skin, on top, underneath.
How do you get under the skin?
You just pull it apart with your fingers, and you slide your fingers
through
the skin.
Doesn't it fall off when you cook it then?
The brine on
the
outside?
No. In other words, you put the brine under the skin. You pick the skin
and
up.
And you let it sit for a day. So basically the salt and sugar will dissolve and season the bird from the inside and the outside.
Yeah.
And then you pop it in the oven after a day.
But presumably, you've already made a cut in the skin, though.
No,
what I'm
you're
saying.
Not making. So you're not cutting anything. When you separate the skin from the breast, there's no puncture of the breast.
Ah.
You're just sliding it in between. And the skin is so tough on a turkey that you can kind of, you know, stick butter under there or herbs. Yeah, people
do. I really got to watch this being cooked some year. All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Darlene in Albany, you're on.
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
What I'm interested in is I have to buy a turkey that's between 18 and 20 pounds, mm-hmm. and I usually get a frozen one, like up at Whole Foods, the, mm-hmm. you know, healthier level anyway. And I want to know if I waited too late. How many days do you think it'll take me to thaw it?
You know what? I think it's, there's a formula, and you're going to have to look online, but it's, you know, it's one day for every X number of pounds.
Maybe really?
It's like every 5 pounds.
It's almost too late?
It takes so long to thaw a turkey.
Oh, my God.
A big one. So,
I
like,
know.
One that's 20.
That's what I'm worried about.
I got to get the turkey right away.
Well, jump on Google and look it up. But I think, I mean, usually 5 days is the most I've ever had to thaw a turkey or that I've heard of thawing a turkey. First of all, if you're going to go to Whole Foods, they're going to have fresh birds, too.
Yeah.
So I would grab one of those.
Maybe
and
I'll
if not,
fresh,
it's definitely not too late. But start thawing today or tomorrow.
How big of a turkey, Darlene? Like 40, 50 pounds?
Between, yeah, right. No. 18 to 20. And that's because everyone brings Tupperware for leftovers.
Right, you're fine.
You'll make it.
You have certainly till the weekend to start thawing.
Thank you very much for the call. 800-348-2551 is the number. Thanksgiving is coming. Jennifer Claire is here. She's got a podcast, you know. It's called Kitchen Radio. and it's available everywhere if you want to learn about things. What she does is she goes to somebody's, she knocks on the door, says, hey, can I come in your kitchen?
And with then my microphone?
And she'll cook something. And it's working out well. There's only a few restraining orders. Jonathan and Del Mar, you're on.
Hello, Jonathan.
This year we're going to do something different. We have about 10 people coming, and we're going to do a prime rib, and I'll do two turkey legs for the one person who likes turkey.
They're going to eat both turkey legs? That's a lot of turkey.
So prime rib is...
Well, I figure it this way. I'm going to put one I'm going to skewer a turkey leg on each side of the prime rib and serve it that way.
I love it.
Cook with a sense of humor.
Good for you.
Yeah.
So what's your question, man?
My question is about the prime rib. I haven't cooked a prime rib before.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure how many ribs to get for 10 people.
It's usually one rib for two people because they're big.
Okay.
Yeah. So five rib. A five ribber.
Okay.
Yeah. I love a prime
and
rib.
And do you cut it? Do you have them cut it off the bone and tie it back on? And then how do you cook it?
No. I mean, we could have a prime rib entire, you know, show here.
Well,
I don't know.
Time. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of cook it like a turkey where you hit it with a lot of heat. First of all, you want to put it on a rack because tons of fat come out of a prime rib. So you definitely want it suspended so the fat has somewhere to go so it's not frying in its own fat. Usually you lay it rib side down so it's basically sitting on its own ribs.
Yeah.
I wouldn't tie it off. I mean, I guess people do that, but just get the whole rib. Don't cut it. Roast it like high to blast it with some heat so you caramelize the outside. And then you got to turn it down low or like 325, 350 and roast until it's 120 in the center, maybe 125. I mean, 120 is good because it's going to keep cooking. It's big and you want it to be pink. I mean, prime rib, don't bother.
Yeah.
It's a fortune. You want to eat it.
Don't destroy it.
Rare to medium rare.
So when you say blast it with heat, are you talking like a 450 oven?
Yeah, but no higher than that. 450 is fine. But and then we're talking about like the first 15 minutes. Then turn it down low. Don't tent with foil, none of that. Just let it go.
Okay.
All right.
Get yourself an instant read thermometer. Pronto.
Thank you very much for the call, Jonathan. Our number is 800-348-2551. Jennifer Clare is our guest. Earlier on, did you say never put foil on the turkey?
No, because then it steams it. It traps all the heat in. I guess if it starts to really get super dark, and your instant read thermometer is saying like 120, then you can tent with foil.
Okay, but you don't usually do that.
No, because again, I'm obsessive about the skin, and it messes with my skin.
I don't mess with the skin. Back to the phones, and Charles in Poughkeepsie is on. Charles.
How you doing, guys?
Hi.
I'm a skin guy, too.
Yeah.
Okay? And is never enough.
No.
Right? Okay. So I got a good relationship with my butcher, and he's breaking down turkeys right now. And he is going to supply me with additional skin.
Oh, how are you going to cook it?
Okay. And I'm going to put it on the bird as if it was foil. And I'm going to cook it for a while, and that's going to brown up before anything. And I'm going to take that skin off.
And then have a second layer.
Yeah, I have a second.
I have never heard of that.
I would love to take credit for that, but I heard another chef.
It's like a skin jacket.
Charles, if you keep talking, she's going to come to a podcast at your house. Just saying. Be careful.
Okay.
I used to have a good friend who would get extra skin from her butcher, too.
Yeah.
She used to get extra chicken skin, and she would put it on a baking sheet and roast it in the oven so she had fresh fried chicken skin.
Nice.
And she would make what she called kosher BLTs.
Oh.
It was fried chicken skin buttered white bread on mayoed white bread with tomato and lettuce.
Genius.
It was amazing.
I mean, less.
Yes.
Last season, I had a whole tray of this skin, and this it went.
Yeah, I would skip the turkey altogether. It's the skin.
Yeah.
Let's be honest here.
Save it for sandwiches.
Yeah.
And it was pretty cheap, too. I mean, like $1 a pound, if that.
And so much joy. So much joy.
Oh, yeah.
You got a question, Charles?
All right.
No?
Or just a comment?
No, it was just a comment. I just got a big mouth comment. That's
all right,
all.
Man. Thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551. Well, there's another person who's really into the skin.
Yeah.
800-348-2551. Jennifer Clare is our guest today. Evelyn in Albany. Evelyn, you're on.
Hi. I think Darlene stole my thunder. I was wondering, I've got a 13-pound kosher bird in the freezer, and I was wondering, would Sunday be enough time to thaw it?
Yeah. Definitely. And I think actually that might even be ahead of the schedule. Although, that's not true. I like to have a thawed bird by Tuesday because you want to take all the wrapping and packaging off and you want your bird to sit in your fridge with nothing on it for like up to 2 days because it dries out the skin and then the skin gets super crispy.
When you thaw it out, though, it's in the fridge, right? It's not like sitting out on the counter, right?
Please do not. No. You must thaw in the refrigerator. In the
I got to learn stuff about this.
So maybe even like Sunday night or Monday morning.
Yeah. Yeah. I should have come on here and done some pre-Googling, but
right.
I can't remember how many minutes or how many days per pound.
Entirely too much Googling in this studio anyway. But thank you very much, Evelyn, for the call, and have a happy Thanksgiving. 800-348-2551 is a telephone number. Jennifer Claire is our guest. I'm going to need the recipe for the
cranberry sauce.
Yeah.
I will send that to you.
Would you please?
Yes.
I'll make
sure I put it on my site.
The orange and the ginger.
Easy.
And
so you can try these potatoes I brought.
Sure.
But I am...
You're not happy because of the salt.
I'm not because it doesn't have any salt. Jim, you're listening. Do you have salt back there?
Oh, he's right here. I'll just put this right on here.
Okay. I don't like to serve anything that I'm not wild about.
Oh, you know what?
Because it's like hot honey, you know, hot sauce, butter, all those good things. But you can't taste all those good things.
Because the salt doesn't bring it out.
If you don't have enough salt.
Well, you know, here's a newsflash. I'm not a big sweet potato person.
Uh-oh.
So
let's see what you think here. I'm going to have another bite in case it's better. Well, I think the concept is great, but honestly, you can't get all those good hot sauce, honey, butter taste because there's not enough salt.
You're wrong. I got plenty of honey. Like this is delicious.
Mm. And that is good. I just got a better bite.
Much better. And those little pumpkin seeds, what do you call them? What's the French
word? Pepita. Pepitas.
Why do they call it that?
That's just green pumpkin seed in Spanish, I guess.
That is a fantastic dish.
Actually, this is
not
No, this is Bon Appetit. The only thing I changed here... was they wanted you to dust the pepitas with coriander, and I said, no.
Why?
I want cumin. I don't know. I don't love coriander alone. I like coriander in things with other spices, but as a standalone, not my favorite flavor.
I'm digging the nuttiness that you get with that.
Yeah, and actually, do you feel that heat? I like the heat that lingers in your mouth. Yeah, okay, I take it back. It's
all right.
Good.
Very good. Yeah. All right, Jennifer Claire is our guest. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. And now we go to Sarah in Amherst. Sarah, you're on. Hello? Hi, Sarah. You're on. Hello?
She's gone. All right. Well,
she's smoking a turkey.
Right. She wanted to question about brining turkey while smoking. That's so many things going on.
Put the turkey down and put it in the ashtray and get back to us. Are you there, Sarah?
Too many things. I guess not.
Oh, Sarah, call us back. Our number is 800-348-2551. Tell you what, Zach the engineer, because Sarah stood us up, we'll take our break now and then hit the home stretch with Jennifer Claire.
Okay.
1-800-348-2551. Learned a couple things so far. One, Jennifer Claire is not a Googler, and she's not a briner. So we'll find out.
I am a Googler.
Oh, you are a Googler.
Oh, yeah.
You haven't been Googling here.
What? Because I'm on the air.
You know, that's
silence my phone.
That's professional. 800-348-2551 is the number. Jennifer Claire's cooking podcast, where she comes to your home and frightens the children. Kitchen Radio. Kitchen Radio is the podcast. And sweet potatoes were good.
Yep.
You got another bin over there. What is that?
I do. Excuse me. It is stuffing.
Oh, look at that.
So stuffing is very important to me.
Agreed. In our house as well.
Yeah. Because if you have a crummy stuffing, actually, it's right up there with gravy. If you have a bad gravy, you might as well just call it.
We haven't even gotten to that yet.
No, and I didn't even bring it.
That's fraught with danger as well for the uninitiated.
It is true.
Yeah.
So making a good gravy is very important. In fact, if anyone cares to how to make a good gravy, you can tune into my podcast about roasting chicken.
That's Kitchen Radio.
Yeah. So there's three things going on in stuffing. One is the bread. So my bread is baguette and cornbread.
Okay.
Then you have to add the add-ins, all the other things other than bread. So I have dried cranberries, pecans, browned shiitake mushrooms, celery, onion. Is that it? Looking in here, I can't remember what else is on here. And then you need liquid.
Yeah.
Something to moisten it.
Right.
So my liquids, I have three moisteners. I have chicken broth, heavy cream, and sherry.
Heavy cream.
And
no.
Sherry.
Well, sherry is, I'm down with
Sherry's
that.
Sherry's key. Anyways, so I love this stuffing.
Okay.
I'll give it to you.
All right. You keep
to
talking.
Taste.
Yeah.
But The only thing I don't like about this is I had to microwave it when I got here to warm it up for you, but I like crispy stuffing.
Right.
So, and I don't ever
but
roast
it's never
it
in the
bird.
Bird.
No.
Right.
That's called stuffing. So outside the bird, it's called dressing. So I put it in a buttered baking dish, cover it with foil, and cook it until it's soft and yummy. And then I pour all the drippings from the bird on top, and then I take the foil off so it crisps. The top layer of the stuffing is crispy, but underneath it is
soft
and yum.
Now, you know, at our house, and I'm sure in your house too, after Thanksgiving, you think about things to do with the turkey.
Mm-hmm.
Turkey sandwiches, but with the stuffing right on it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and so this would be great.
And cranberry sauce.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Do you make, I ask you this every year, but I'm frankly pretty senile. Do you make the turkey croquettes?
I don't. Is that the deep fried, what's a turkey croquette?
Oh my
like a
God,
potato, the old mashed potatoes?
Why is it every time I ask a guest about the turkey croquettes, nobody knows what the turkey croquettes is?
Is that a day after thing?
Yeah. You take leftover, you grind it up, you make it into little footballs with some breading on it, you fry it up in the pan.
I think we have talked about this.
My wife is like, she made it. I'm never going through all this work again. It's really delicious.
Good.
Oh,
very
my God,
good.
Yeah. So next time, next Thanksgiving, you're bringing it.
I'll bring it.
All right. Angela in Saratoga.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I just wanted to ask if anybody's experimented with a garbage can turkey.
What does that even mean?
After Thanksgiving, certainly.
I compost mine, I make turkey stock. What part is in the garbage can? You mean brining
turkey.
It?
It's basically, no. You cook the turkey outside in the garbage can.
Using what heat source?
You get your turkey ready. You have to have a garbage can dedicated to turkey. And then you turn the garbage can over the turkey. You put charcoal all around the bottom of the can on the outside.
I'm assuming this is a metal garbage can.
Yeah.
The
old
school.
Okay, I'm thinking like
and,
rubber.
No, the old time ones.
Yeah, I kind of like that. That's very campfire-y.
But, yeah, it is. We sit out and have, you know, adult beverages. And
how long does that take?
By the turkey. A couple hours. It's like a convection oven.
I literally have never heard of that, but I'm fascinated.
All right, Angela, that's another podcast right there, Kitchen Radio.
It tastes the same as indoors.
But it's just fun to be outside with your
oven space. Yeah, it's just kind of fun.
Cool.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, thank you.
Give that a try.
Okay.
That one
put
we
that
have
in
to,
your can and smoke
that,
it.
That is very good, Angela. Thanks for the call. Hey, speaking of garbage can turkey, and frankly, no one's ever made that sentence before. Do you ever fry a turkey? I was in the store the other day, and they got
a line of
turkey fryers.
Yeah.
So you don't do that.
That's
thing?
For the intrepid. No, I guess there's nothing appealing about that. I do like the bird to be in the house. I'm not trying to get it outside because I like the smell of turkey in my house and like the way it makes the house feel.
Yeah.
Sort of feng shui.
Right.
So, but yeah, for those who don't want to be inside or you have a small apartment, I guess that's good.
Do you think Glade could make some sort of a scent that you could like plug in the wall and for those who don't cook, right?
You would only want, but then how depressing would it be if you had that smell in your house, but you didn't get to eat a turkey?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah.
And the cat would go crazy too.
Yes, exactly.
Catherine in Woodstock. Catherine, you're on.
Hi there. I have a tip from my mother, who is now 96 and no longer making for the yearly Christmas party a huge turkey. But foil, which I agree with you, is a terrible thing. It just steams the turkey. She would rip open or cut open a brown paper bag.
Oh, yeah. My aunt
and smear
used
it with oil.
To do that. And I never understood that.
Yeah.
Then you just had an oily bag in there. But so it.
I'm sorry, I missed something here. Catherine, you were cutting in and out.
I think that's a generation thing.
Explain to me what the heck the bag is for?
Is it like sealing in flavors or juices?
Your connection's pretty bad.
You pin a brown paper bag saturated with oil, and you put that over the bird, and the oil keeps it moist, and it also crisps up the skin.
Yeah, I cannot. Right, this. So my aunt is 90 as well. So it must be a generational thing. She used to put it in a bag. I remember that when I was
an oily bag. This sounds like a recipe for a massive house fire.
Right,
I'm just saying.
Especially if you have a gas stove, that sounds terrible. I didn't know that she oiled the bag. I thought it just got oiled from all the steam.
You boil the bag, and you can use.
I am not recommending this technique.
And,
yeah,
but it works for you, Catherine.
But it's definitely. It seems like
it works, and it makes the most moist, delicious turkey. This was a yearly Christmas party we had for 40 years.
Okay,
and people would come just for the turkey.
Wow.
So, all right. Well.
You know, you've learned a few things today.
Right.
I got to say, this is
haven't heard about the brown bag for like 30 years.
Catherine, happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for calling. That's very interesting.
Yeah, I remember.
So we had the garbage can, and
then
we had
a paper bag.
What's next? What fresh hell is this? Let's go. And Renee in Campbell Hall. Renee.
Well, I just roast mine in the oven like I think the majority of people. I don't put it in a bag or anything like that. But my question is that I do brine my turkey, mm-hmm. and I know you don't brine, but I brine for about 20 hours. My question is, after I brine it, can I then let it dry out in the refrigerator?
Preferable. Yeah, because you don't want to put a wet bird in there. You should definitely give yourself a day after brining to dry it out, so when it goes into the oven, it's dry on the outside. Because then you won't,
so
then
I
it's just kind of steamy.
That'd be like Tuesday, right?
Yeah. You can brine for a day, take it out Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or Wednesday morning.
Wow. Okay.
All right, Renee. Okay, cool. Thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551. Jennifer Clare is here. And her podcast, by the way, is Kitchen Radio. Where are you going next?
I am going to my friend Kathy's house in Wappingers Falls, and we're learning how to make a pie crust.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, when you go out west, I think you should probably roll tape.
Right. Oh, I am. I'm going to go to my friend's house in Echo Park, and we're going to do, I think she wanted to either do a Moroccan tagine or a souffle.
Oh, very good. That's
Well, so stay tuned. I have no idea which one we'll do.
All right. Jay in Holyoke. Jay, you're up.
Hey, my dad used to do prime rib, and he went out and found a gas stove where he'd get up to 550 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And what he'd do, he'd put fire bricks in the bottom of the gas stove, and he'd heat the stove up ahead of time, like for an hour and a half.
Uh-huh.
And then he'd pop open the oven and shove the prime rib in. Of course, salt and pepper and butter on the outside of the prime rib. And it would be 5 minutes a pound. Then he'd shut the oven right off and wouldn't, you know, kill anybody that would open it before it was time to open at 15 minutes a pound. And it would come out like raw to rare in the inside, like we like it, and nice and crispy and on the outside.
Wow.
Was it ever good?
I love that. I love people who do very dramatic things, you know, in the name of flavor. That's great.
Well, you weren't allowed to use those fire bricks for anything else. It was only for when he did a prime rib.
Nice.
Yeah.
And
I respect that.
You were lucky if he'd let you use his gas stove, you know.
Right.
But he was pretty anal about it. But that was my dad.
Thanks
for the call,
good
Jay.
Dad.
Happy Thanksgiving. 800-348-2551. Jennifer Clare is not equipped to take any calls about turkey croquettes today. Just want to put that out there.
Nope.
Next year, she's going to be an expert. Tom and Gardner. Tom.
Yeah, turkey croquettes. They're the best thing, man. They're better than the turkey.
Thank you. I'm with you 100%.
Oh, man. Okay. Two comments. Getting back to the cranberry chutney, one year I experimented and I put some orange in mine. And I also put some very finely diced apple. And while it was cooking in some cheesecloth, I had some whole cloves. And they sat in there for a while.
Sounds like mulled
and
apple cider cross with cranberry sauce.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a matter of, like, smelling what's in the pot and then smelling what's in the bottle and seeing, is this going to go with that? And you try it.
Yeah.
The other thing, when I make apple pie, I make the best apple pie, I believe, I've ever had.
Oh.
And
I
use lemon. I'd say
lemon juice or lemon zest
for pie. Because what I do is I squeeze all the juice out into the, I dice the apples, and I squeeze all the juice out, and so
of the apples?
Just, covered on the diced apple in the bowl. That's right.
Don't squeeze out that juice.
Why?
Because that's where all the sweetness is. Yeah, don't get that
no,
juice
no, no.
is.
Oh. I squeeze the lemon juice
I got
into
it.
The bowl of apples.
Ah.
There we go.
So
much
in other
better
words,
idea.
I'm adding a lot of lemon juice.
Right.
Gotcha.
And you're balancing. Well, that's good for two reasons. It just keeps the apples from turning brown, the acidity
oh, really?
In the lemon.
Well, that's,
and also,
that's the reason I read to put it in.
Yeah, and then it balances the sweetness.
I never understood that because they turn brown when you bake them anyway.
Oh.
But if you add more lemon than that, But not enough so that people say, oh, you put lemon in this.
You're pushing the envelope.
That people say, oh, what is this? This is different.
I'm
a
full believer in
lemon.
Acidity is very, it's often the thing where people are like, this is so good. What is it? And it's because there's some sort of acidic component that you can't put your finger on. And you've hit it on the head.
It intensifies all the other flavors.
I agree. That's great.
Okay. Well, and learn about turkey croquettes.
Yes, Tom. Right. Thank you very
much. I think
we'll
have the post-Thanksgiving show next year, and we'll talk about what we did with our leftovers.
You could bring the turkey croquettes, and you make the rich mock apple pie. Delicious.
Oh, yes.
You've had that, right?
I have not.
Oh, fantastic.
I mean, I know what
it's delicious.
Yeah, okay.
You're
cooking
next
time.
Things you learn on the show here. David and Hudson. David, you're on.
Yeah, I love the idea of defrosting the, drying the turkey out in the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. Can you do the same thing with a duck?
Absolutely. You can do it with anything. In fact, there are many chefs out there who will not cook a piece of meat until it's been sitting around for 24 hours in the refrigerator to dry out. You salt it really well inside and out, let it dry for 24 hours, and then you have the best piece of meat.
Cool. I'm from New Orleans, and we always had oyster dressing with the turkey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, love it.
Yep.
Yeah, it's really good. When I make citron with boudin, I use the syrup in the cranberry sauce.
But you make what better ends?
Citron, candied citron with boudin fruit.
Oh.
I use the syrup from that. And the cranberry sauce.
Oh,
yes.
Brilliant. Yeah.
I have not seen a Buddha hand. It literally looks like a hand.
Really?
It's the creepiest looking citrus fruit.
Where do those grow?
You get that in New Orleans?
No, I'm in Hudson. I get it from ShopRite.
Whoa.
Okay.
Well, it's not right. It must be coming from the West Coast.
Wow.
Yeah. I actually don't know where it comes from. It's tropical.
Wow, man.
They're very creepy.
Yeah.
Buddha hands.
Little fingertip for cocktail.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to remember that if I see it.
Now you've terrified me, David. Yeah. So we're going to let you go. 800-348-2551. Buddha hands? What is this?
It looks like little skinny lemons, and they're all attached. So it's like this weird wavy fruit.
And we don't know from whence they come.
No. I think I've seen it in like a California farmer's market where they have all kinds of crazy citrus.
This is very interesting.
Yeah, maybe I'll find someone I'm out there.
Art in Little Falls. Art, you're up.
Hello.
Hi.
Two questions. My daughter has coerced me into making an apple pie for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And I've been told tart apples. First question is, why tart if you want a sweet pie? And the second, is there any variety of apples that you would suggest?
Yes. Tart apples. First of all, the best apple pie is not one kind of apple. It's really nice to blend. So like two or three different kinds of apples. So when you're eating it, it's not a particular single flavor. Tart apples, because apples are sweet anyways. And the tart, like we talked about before, having some sort of acidity.
Yeah.
Just
makes
for
more.
And you add lots of sugar anyway. So it's never going to be tart, but at least there's a better balance of flavor. So Granny Smith are good. I don't like all Granny Smith pie. But Granny Smith, like two of them, if you're going to do six apples, two of them should be Granny Smith and the other can be whatever you want. Honeycrisp, Gala, Empire, a sweeter kind.
And what would be a good temperature for the oven?
Again, blast it with a good crust. You want it high to start and then lower so you can cook those apples so they're nice and soft. So like 425 to start first 15 minutes, then turn it down to like 350.
Fantastic. I really appreciate you.
Sure.
Right, good luck. Enjoy. We appreciate the call.
Who's Ben in Red Hook?
Well, I don't know. Let's find out.
Flip the bird.
Ben in Red Hook is going to flip the bird. It's radio, so it's not going to work out all that well for you, but go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question. Hi, Jennifer.
I knew it was you.
So we have gotten into the habit of turning the bird over halfway through. We start up, then we flip it down to thighs up and the breast down, and then cook most of the time that way, and then flip back up the other way. That's been really great. I just wondered if you had any experience
with
that.
How do you do that without burning yourself?
Yeah.
And all the juices pouring out.
It's done over the pan with there's a fork that has very wide tongs.
A special flipper fork?
Yeah. clipper fork, and then a kitchen towel.
Yeah, I think that seems like too much work for Thanksgiving. You know, by the time you've already had a drink and you've got so many, you know, things in the air that you're dealing with. I feel like I'm going to try the new. I know that you know Bon Appetit magazine, and I feel like I'm going to try this year where you cut all the parts. So you don't have to worry about flipping the birds because the thighs and the breasts are all going to cook on the same plane. You know, the thighs aren't underneath the bird.
Yeah.
So that's what I have to say.
All right.
Good idea, too. Right, yeah. Just break them all up.
Just break it down.
Tremendous.
Anyway, love the show. Love the show. And I'm going to try some turkey croquettes.
Oh, yeah, man. You got to do that. And thanks for flipping the bird for us here on the program. Let's go to Nancy and Adams. Nancy, you're on.
Hi. I just want to share a recipe that I make for my family. And I know I like to use fresh, but for this recipe, we use canned. I get canned yams and drain them and cut them into bite sizes. Then for a regular 9x13 pan, I use two cans. And then I get two cans of apple pie filling, and I cut them, the slices, into bite size. But I also put more cinnamon and nutmeg in it, spread that over the yams, and then mix brown sugar with chopped pecans.
Yeah.
Sprinkle that over the top.
Delicious.
And then pats of butter on the top of that and put it in the oven and bake it till it's bubbly.
Yeah.
Really lean.
Bubbly. I love it.
When I first started
making
it.
That sounds like dessert.
Sounds good to me, though.
Oh, but a go. No, no. Doesn't make it to dessert.
Yeah.
I first started making it, probably 2 cups of the dish got eaten. And the next year, a little more got eaten. And now, if I don't take some before it goes on the table for leftovers for me to take home.
Yep. You're out of luck.
I don't get any because my sister and her family will not let me take any home anymore.
Well, you got to take your bit there,
take
Nancy.
Take what's yours.
All right. So, Jennifer Claire, we're about out of time here. Everyone's talking about the podcast, Kitchen Radio. How do they find it?
You go to wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
Really?
Stitcher, Spotify, Apple iTunes, Apple Podcasts. Or you just go to my website, homecookingny.com.
And the book, 6 Basic Cooking Techniques. I stopped after the knife skills.
Yeah.
I lost a digit.
Right. That's it. It's all the things that you should know how to do. Knife skills is one, cooking meat, making pan sauces, roasting vegetables, cooking leafy greens, and blanching.
I mean,
what else is there?
Well, that's the key to life right there. You know, and the Buddha hands, which I'm on a mission. I'm looking for that now.
I am looking at those.
Great job today. Support comes from MySci, the Museum of Innovation and Science. Schenectady premieres Insatiable, Cooking Up Innovation, exploring the evolution of cooking, food culture, and kitchen science. Exhibition details and events at MySci.org. Big Y, family-owned and operated market with locations throughout the Berkshires, celebrating more than 80 years of serving communities throughout New England. BigY.com. And Olivia Gourmet Olive Oils and Vinegars, Rhinebeck, Lenox, Stuyvesant Plaza, over 50 flavors of olive oils and balsamic vinegars, customized holiday gifts for work, family, friends, in-store and online. Olivaio. Let me practice this. just read it. Don't give me the phonetics. Olivaivu.com. Just spell it. OLIVAEVOO.com. Zach, it's been one hell of a week. You have to say it too as an underwriter. You know what, Jennifer? Let's just cut our losses and get out of here. Have a great weekend.